The $40 trillion debt, the silent default, and Xi's Hong Kong retreat. The U.S. national debt has crossed $40 trillion, and the phrase analysts are deploying, silent default, requires explanation because it describes something fundamentally different from a missed payment. A silent default occurs when the Federal Reserve monetizes debt by purchasing treasury securities, expanding the money supply, generating inflation, and eroding the real purchasing power of what the government owes. Creditors receive nominal repayment in dollars worth materially less than what they lent. The debt is effectively defaulted on in real terms without any payment being skipped. The $40 trillion figure sits in context. U.S. GDP is approximately $30 trillion, placing the debt-to-GDP ratio comfortably above 130%. Japan has operated above 200% for years without acute crisis, but Japan's domestic savings rate and home currency-denominated debt structure provide resilience. The U.S. situation does not replicate. The more pointed concern is the interest expense trajectory. At current rates, the U.S. government is spending somewhere in the range of $800 to $900 billion annually on debt service alone, approaching the size of the entire defense budget, and producing no services, infrastructure, or security capability in return. The political conversation around the figure is, by most serious fiscal economists' assessment, almost entirely performative. Both parties have contributed to the debt trajectory, neither carries a credible plan to reverse it, and the constituencies that would bear the cost of genuine fiscal consolidation, seniors, defense contractors, healthcare providers, are politically powerful enough to block the necessary adjustments. The $40 trillion headline is significant, but the more candid story is that the political system has effectively decided, without explicitly acknowledging the decision, to defer the reckoning. Xi's planned Hong Kong IPO later this week arrives in this financial environment as a real-time test of investor appetite. The company is targeting a $25 billion valuation, a roughly 66% haircut from its 2022 peak paper valuation of $98 billion. Failed listing attempts in both New York and London preceded the Hong Kong pivot. In the U.S., Xi faced intense regulatory scrutiny over supply chain labor practices and its reliance on the de minimis trade exemption, which allowed packages under $800 to ship directly from China to American consumers without duties. Congressional movement to close that loophole materially changed the company's cost structure in its largest market. Hong Kong offers access to Asian institutional capital and signals that Xi's next growth phase is envisioned as more Asia-centric and less dependent on the American consumer. A consumer increasingly attentive to the origins and conditions of fast fashion production. The antitrust framework relevant to understanding Xi's U.S. regulatory difficulties rests on the Sherman Act of 1890. Section 1 prohibits agreements that unreasonably restrain trade, such as price-fixing cartels. Section 2 prohibits monopolization, specifically acquiring or maintaining monopoly power through exclusionary or anti-competitive conduct. Holding a large market share is not itself illegal. The law targets conduct that goes beyond legitimate competition. The legal threshold for monopoly power is typically set around 70% market share in a defined market, though the definition of the relevant market is itself contested and forms the core of most major antitrust litigation. Xi's regulatory difficulties were not technically antitrust cases, but the competitive distortions created by the de minimis arbitrage produced exactly the regulatory response that businesses with controversial market practices should anticipate. When a business model depends on a regulatory loophole, the loophole is eventually closed.